is fitting to me that our series on following Jesus should culminate in this Sunday. This is the last Sunday in the series, and I promise I didn't plan it that way. But it's fitting that it should lead us here to Baptism Sunday. Following Jesus is a decision. And it's a decision you heard these children say this morning. A decision to follow Christ. I've decided to follow Jesus. And it's not just a decision, but a decision that requires a commitment. No turning back. I'll follow him, though none go with me, still I'll follow. For the rest of our lives, deciding to follow Jesus. And what we've talked about is that it's not this one-time decision that says, I have decided to follow Jesus, now what? It's re-enlisting, I follow Jesus again and again and again. I'm going to follow Jesus next week. I'm going to follow Jesus this morning. It's every day through every hardship, through every joy, through every triumph, and through every challenge that we say, I have decided. I'm going to follow Jesus. Because deciding to follow Jesus, choosing that moment, is just the beginning. The scripture that we've been in for the last number of weeks that we've kind of built around is the scripture that Jesus talks to the people about in John chapter 8, verse 12. He says to the people, I am the light of the world. The person that follows me will not live in darkness, but will have the light that gives life. These are the words that were spoken about Jesus, that John, at the beginning of his gospel, starts off by illuminating this idea, this one pinnacle idea, that Jesus is the light of the world. In John 1:1, he says, in the beginning there was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God with him in the beginning. All things were made by him. Nothing was made without him. In him, and just listen to the rewording of that statement that Jesus makes. He says, in him there was life, and that life was the light of the people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overpowered. Rephrasing that same juxtaposition of light and darkness, Jesus brings it out and says, if you follow me, you will not live in darkness, but will have the light that gives life. This idea here, darkness, that Jesus says, darkness is not an absence of light, but a place in which light has been obscured, has been shuttered, has been overcome, has been closed off. When Jesus talks to the people about no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a shade, that's the same kind of word picture he's doing here. He's saying that the darkness is having the light, but it's not able to get through. It's obscured by a veil, by a curtain, blocked out. When you choose to follow him, when you choose to follow Jesus, that veil that we all walk around with in our lives, ignorant of our sin, ignorant of our need for Jesus, not realizing what our lives can be like with him, when we choose to follow him, that veil is lifted, that veil is torn. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple that separated us from God was torn in two, not able to be reconnected, not able to be brought back again. The veil is open and we're able to see Jesus clearly. The veil is open and we're able to see our sin clearly, and to see our need for him, for a Savior. We're able to see the path forward. I want you to notice how Jesus characterizes following. Because what he says is the person who follows me. Right? The idea is that we're all following something. There's no one alive that isn't following something, whether they realize it or not. We've all chosen, and by not choosing, you've made a decision to follow something. Jesus is saying, choose me. Follow me. Most of this scripture that precedes the New Testament is about people who chose to follow everything but God. Idols and other gods and other beliefs and other systems. And we may not have that big, obvious golden statue that we're bowing to. There's so much in the world that wants to vie for your attention and vie for your occupation to say, follow me, do this, be here. And Jesus says, don't choose me instead. Instead, follow me. When we follow Jesus, that veil that is torn in two now allows the light, the truth of who Jesus is to come in. Once that light comes in, you become filled with light. That's why Jesus says, you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill. He says, I'm the light that gives life. I'm getting my light into you so that you can now go and lead others. You can be that lighthouse. You can be that beacon for others. That's where we've been. That's where we've been walking. And once you decide to follow Jesus, you become set apart from the rest of the world, from the rest of those paths. You're marked. He sets you on a different path. If you have enough conversations with me, one of the things that will inevitably come up is either going to be coffee, or it's going to be hiking. I'm a really big fan of hiking. Or it'll be music, I guess. But we'll talk about hiking. When you go hiking, you start off, there's a point at which you begin. Call it the trailhead. You start at the trailhead. Once you head down the trail a little ways, you'll start to notice these things that mark on the trees, on the rock, on a sign. And they're called blazes. Blazes are just little painted rectangles most of the time. Sometimes it's a diamond, any kind of a shape. And what it does is it identifies the trail and the path. As you walk along, you will notice that a lot of trails have multiple paths, and each path is marked with its own unique blaze so that you know which path you're on. You know which path to follow. There's nothing that says once you get on one path, you can't go onto another path. But they're clearly marked, and they're clearly identified, and the whole goal of them is to lead you from point to point. Now, these markers are not set up every 5 feet. You have to sometimes go a little ways. There's a stretch of part in the Appalachian Trail, which is 1,000 miles of trail. There's a stretch of that where there is no clear path through the woods. It's instead across open fields, across bare rocks. Those markers sometimes are pretty far along. So you say, I've been going this direction, I'll keep going this direction. But I'm going to keep my eyes out for that blaze so that I know if I'm on the right track. And I know if I need to recalibrate, move over a little bit. There are lots of different kind of trails. Lollipop trails, loop trails, out and backs, all kinds of different trails. The trail we're on for Jesus, it's the long one. It's the long haul. The world is following one blaze. Honestly, lots of different blazes, but all with one goal, to try to achieve happiness, to try to find the secret to life the secret to youth or wealth or beauty or fill in the blanks, success or power or whatever it is that will fill up that cup that can really only be filled by Jesus. See, the world is very distracted, if you've noticed. If you've ever noticed, there's always some new thing, some new fad, some new way to get rich quick or to find the best way to have this enjoyable life or the way to get to heaven, the easiest path. When you decide to follow Jesus, you choose the blaze that leads to Christ, that is Christ, that's guided by Him, that's following Him. The reason they call these things that are on the sides of the trail a blaze is because it's a bright, clear indicator in a very dark wood. They tend not to paint them on bright white rocks. They tend to not put them on things that can be peeled off easily or fall away. They paint them on sturdy trees, sturdy rocks, and generally in the darkest places so that they're easy to see, easy to recognize, easy to follow. When you follow Jesus, you get on a different track, a different blaze. See, while we're all headed to the same goal as believers, once you believe and you accept Christ, you're headed to that goal. The path that we may get to can vary. See, each of us has to follow the path that's been laid out before us to the best of our ability. Along the way, God has full authority to alter the way, to redirect, to divert, not from the goal, but from the path that we're on. We have to know, when we begin to follow Jesus, what we're getting into. We have to recognize the long, epic trail. We have to notice the endurance that's involved in walking these kind of things out. And it's endurance and challenge, not just because it's long, but because it's difficult. I have an app on my phone called All Trails. It's not a paid endorsement. I should get that. It's called All Trails. And All Trails is this great app that tells you all of the trails that are nearby, and then it rates them. It also tells you the level of difficulty. Some of those will be like, you know, it's a five level of difficulty, very challenging, very hard, do not recommend. Some of them are very easy. And they say, oh, this one will take you less than 30 minutes, no problem. Here's the funny thing about those. The ones that are the most difficult, they have the greatest things to see. The easy ones are nice, but you're not going to see much. Or if you do, it'll just be one thing and it's done. The epic trails are the vista after vista after vista. These long, hard trails are worth it. It's worth it to follow Jesus all the way through to the end. Why? Because of the goal. Because of the joy of our Lord. We enjoy the journey. Jesus said when people asked him, they said, we want to follow you. And he said, foxes have holes and birds have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. This is how Jesus lived. He was a journeyman, a sojourner, a person who didn't belong in this world, but lived for the people in this world. Knowing fully this isn't his home. When we follow Christ, we take on that life. recognizing that this world is not our home, and yet we're called to this world and to these people. We're called to guide and to lead and to love and to pray. But this isn't our home. And we walk it out every day. Every day it looks a little different. And every day God keeps guiding us. And we walk through these epic things and see these amazing vistas. And then you go through this kind of wandering path that has no sights. And then something else. So easy to get distracted, to get off track. We have to stay focused. There are lots of reasons people get off track while following Jesus through the wilderness of life. Could be distraction, could be temptation, or the desire to have something better. Could be troubles or difficulties. Could be things that cause us to feel that maybe, just maybe, we didn't hear clearly, or we didn't follow well. Maybe we missed something. Maybe we made a wrong turn. Maybe we're on the wrong track. God wouldn't want me to be on this track, would he? You ever said that? Sometimes we don't get off track, but we don't move forward either. We get stuck, comfortable, complacent. We get used to things, and when God says move, we think maybe we misheard him. Maybe we don't even see it. That's why it's important to keep our eyes fixed on the goal. Along the path, there's so many places that are going to be comfortable. So many places to stop. But part of being a sojourner, part of being on that path, is recognizing that there are waypoints. And then you keep moving forward. Sometimes we're afraid to move because we don't see the next blaze. Not sure where we're supposed to go. I know I've been in that place. I've been in that place going out hiking, and I've been in that place following Jesus, where I say maybe the best thing I can do is just stand still. Sometimes we don't move, though, because we do see the next blaze. And we say, there's no way that's where I'm supposed to go. Amy and I were in Hawaii for our 20th anniversary trip a few years back. And there was a trail that led to the top of the mountain on the island that we were on. And the trail gets up to a point where there's this beautiful outlook, beautiful vista. You can see out into the ocean, see the rest of the island from that point. And then there's this other little tiny trail that leads from there, and it climbs up through all of these rocks and all of this stuff, and you can see the blaze that says go ahead and go on up. Amy and I have very different views of what's safe, and I tend to feel that if somebody put a blaze there, it's probably safe, and Amy tends to think that as long as both her feet are on the ground, she's safe. And so Amy stayed in the one place, and I kept going on to the other. And I don't say that because this was nothing here nor there. This is just going to see a vista. But sometimes in life, God puts us into these conditions, into these places where we look at that path and say, well, there's no way that's where God is saying for me to go. That doesn't look safe at all. That doesn't look like the direction I've been headed. Other times, we want to go forward. We are ready. We are excited to follow that next blaze. We can see it. It's right there. But it's the wrong time. There's a place at Stone Mountain where we live nearby, and I go hiking there quite often. There's a place up at the top that if you're following the trail that goes around it, there's a big sign, lots of them actually, that say, "Caution, do not attempt while wet." As I said, Amy and I have very different definitions of what is safe. And I said, "It's not that wet." And took off across this little path of rock, and I took about 4 steps before I went sliding down the side of the mountain and caught myself in a big thicket of trees. And realized that even though I could see that white blaze up ahead, it was the wrong time to go. There are so many reasons we can get off track. So many ways to get lost. So many ways to stop and not make the journey or take the step too quickly and get ourselves in a predicament. Jesus has clearly set the path before us. He's marked it. And yet following Jesus doesn't always make sense. It doesn't. And it isn't always easy. And there are definitely going to be moments when you say, "This is not what I signed up for." You're definitely going to have those. I'll just promise you ahead of time so that you're not unaware. Jesus was always pretty good about making sure people understood what they were getting into. How many times did he say something to the effect of, "You need to count the cost. You need to think about the whole journey. You need to know what you're signing up for." And you do. To keep going, to not give up, to not lose hope. When all of these things come your way, you have to remember that all of these challenges can be summed up in 2 words: patience and trust. Patience and trust. Patience because Jesus does not always move exactly when we want him to move. And trust because Jesus does not always go where we expect him and want him to go. But it's at the crux of these two things, patience and trust, where faith is born. And it's faith that will lead you home. Home to Jesus. Home to the greatest goal the world has ever known. I've climbed mountains and I've set atop ridges to look out and experience the amazing views, the inspiring vistas that God has created in the world. But it is nothing compared with what Christ has in store for us when we choose to follow him. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2:9, quoting Isaiah, he said, "No eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, no mind has ever imagined the things that God has prepared for those who love him." And Isaiah says, for those who trust in him. So if that's you today, wherever you are on your walk, if you've never even started that journey and you're hearing this and saying, "What does it look like to follow Jesus?" Or maybe you've been following Jesus from a commitment one time 50 years ago. And you say, "What does it look like for me to follow Jesus today?" The way in is the way on. The way you started following Jesus when you were 5, 7, 11, 15, 20. It's the same today. Because God is the same. And if you're here and you're saying, "I want to be on this path. I want to experience this joy, this excitement, all that stuff that you're talking about." Yes, I'm a very excitable person. I know I get excited. But you can get excited. And if you're here and you're saying, "I want to get excited about Jesus again. I want to get back on that path." Guess what? So does God. He wants you to get back on that path and get excited about the things that he's doing in your life right now. Because following Jesus is a dynamic journey, not a one-time choice. It's marked by constant blazes and waypoints and vistas all along the way. Yes, there are parts that seem like desert. Yes, there are parts that seem incredibly challenging, but it's worth it. It'll be the most incredible journey you have ever been on. So if you're hearing my words here in person, if you're hearing them online, if you're hearing them later, choose to follow Jesus. Choose Him. Choose life. Choose salvation. Choose forgiveness. Choose hope. Choose joy and mercy. Choose Jesus. He loves you. And He wants to walk with you through everything in life. Let's pray.